جزء 8. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 8th episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the 8th juz of the Quran, which consists of the last 55 verses of Surat al-An'am, the cattle, and the first 87 verses of Surat al-A'raf, the elevations. Both of these surahs are Meccan, unlike the others that we have mainly discussed thus far. What this means is that the major themes of these chapters include critiques of pagan and polytheistic practices, as well as explanations of the basic tenets of Islam, namely Tawheed, Nabuwah, and Ma'ad. While Surat al-An'am is a Meccan surah and as such does not explore topics of Islamic law in detail in the same way that Medinan surahs do, it does mention some general concepts of laws and the basic sharia that was revealed to all prophets. And it's these general concepts that will be our discussion for today. To start the discussion and the chapter, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala critiques the practices and laws that took place in pre-Islamic Arabia, and he critiques their ethical foundation, calling them baseless. From verses 136 to 146, there is a lengthy description of how the polytheistic non-Muslims had devised their own rules for sacrificing animals. Among these verses, cattle are mentioned as one of the animals that were sacrificed, and that's where the chapter takes its name, An'am. Note verses 138 to 140, whose translation we will now read. And they say, these animals and crops are restricted. None may eat them except those we permit, by their claims. And animals whose backs are forbidden, and animals over which they do not pronounce the name of God, fabricating lies against him. He will repay them for what they used to invent. And they say, what lies in the wombs of these animals is exclusively for our males and prohibited to our wives. But if it is stillborn, they can share in it. He will surely punish them for their allegations. He is wise and knowing. Lost are those who kill their children foolishly, with no basis in knowledge, and forbid what God has provided for them, innovations about God. They have gone astray. They are not guided. Some of the pre-Islamic practices mentioned here are with regards to dietary law and sacrificial law. They used to forbid the consumption of something inside the animal, likely a fetus according to Allama Tabatabai, for women, while permitting it for men, an exception being if the fetus was stillborn. In addition to these flawed dietary laws, they used to participate in honor killings, killing their children with no good reason. What's interesting about these verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them out for creating their own standards of what is good and bad, or what is permissible and impermissible. They created laws arbitrarily, with zero divine guidance, and zero reason, and zero foundation. They were bid'ahs, and they were not actually rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created for them. There was no rule that Allah had said to allow women to eat this, or to not allow women to eat this, or to allow only men to eat this. What this shows is that an important component of laws is that they should be rooted in the divine, in accordance with a strong foundation, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not up to us to create arbitrarily. In this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Am kuntum shuhada'a idh wassakumullahu bihadha. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا لِيُضِلَّ النَّاسَ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ.
Were you witnesses when Allah enjoined this upon you? So who is a greater wrongdoer than him who fabricates a lie against Allah to mislead the people without any knowledge? In sum, what this verse means is Allah is asking, were you there when Allah said this? When did Allah say it? We know that in Islam, we do have restrictions and dietary laws that must be followed. The details of many of these are mentioned in the Quran, albeit in later verses that were revealed in Medina, in Medinan surahs. Sometimes when we think about it, it may seem arbitrary, What's the difference between the laws that we have and some of the laws that are mentioned in this verse? But the difference is not always in what something looks like or the form of it, but rather it is contingent on whether or not it is rooted in Allah's wisdom. The verses continue to give a general overview of the halal types of meat and mention how the Jewish people, or Bani Israel, had more stringent measures on their dietary restrictions. Some of what used to be forbidden for them may be halal for us. And the reason that this was forbidden for them was a consequence for their actions and due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom and desire to test and purify them. This doesn't mean that Allah's law is arbitrary or randomly applicable or non-applicable, sometimes to us and sometimes to them, but rather what it means is that these were permissible foods that were forbidden to them for a specific reason. While the rules may be different in these scenarios, they were not arbitrary. They were both rooted in the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what is important. After addressing this ethical discussion, from verses 150 to 157 of the same surah, Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the basic tenets of all revealed religions. Ethical laws that are basic but also entirely in line with the aql. As a Meccan surah, we'll note that these explanations and injunctions are relatively basic and do not enter a lot of detail like the laws that are mentioned in later Medinan surahs. These were the messages of all of God's prophets, the heart of our Sharia, and included the following injunctions. 1. Not associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned in verses 150 to 151. 2. Not being unkind to parents as mentioned in 151. 3. Not committing indecencies or fahisha as mentioned in verse 151. 4. Not killing any innocent souls without a just cause, including killing one's own children in fear of poverty, as mentioned in verse 151. 5. Not laying hands on the property of orphans except in good cause to help them, as mentioned in verse 152. 6. Not giving full measure and weight with justice or committing financial corruption, which is mentioned in verse 152. 7. Avoiding unjust speech, as mentioned in verse 152. 8. To fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's covenant, which is mentioned in verse 153. And 9. Not to follow any other path other than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this results in religious disagreement, as mentioned in verse 155. These religious standards base the unity over which the divine religions were revealed. It's interesting to note that since this surah was revealed in Mecca, we see very general injunctions and reminders of prior religions, and that Islam is tied to these previous revealed religions. In verses 154 to 157, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Torah, i.e. the Old Testament, and that Rasulullah's message is tied to this message of the other prophets, showing and indicating that throughout time, there has been a singular unified thread and message of Tawheed that makes the basis of our religion. Surah Al-An'am ends off with a beautiful conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somewhat of a mantra of what our attitude should be to life. Everything that we do should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are responsible for our own actions, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us, especially with guidance, and by making humans his representatives on earth.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم دينا قيما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين قل أغير الله أبغي ربا وهو رب كل شيء ولا تكسب كل نفس إلا عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض ورفع بعضكم فوق بعض درجات ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم إن ربك سريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم.
Say, indeed my Lord has guided me to a straight path. The upright religion, the creed of Abraham, a Hanif, and he was not one of the polytheists. Say, indeed my prayer and my worship, my life and my death are for the sake of Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. He has no partner, and I have been commanded to follow this creed, and I am the first of those who submit to Allah. Say, shall I seek a Lord other than Allah, while he is the Lord of all things? No soul does evil except against itself, and no bearer shall bear another's burden. Then to your Lord will be your return, whereat he will inform you concerning that about which you used to differ. It is he who has made you successors on the earth, and raised some of you in rank above others, so that he may test you in respect to what he has given you. Indeed, your Lord is swift in retribution, and indeed he is all-forgiving, all-merciful.
والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.